He said, Brother Zach, he said, I like your little book a whole lot on undeniable truths. He said, you need to write another book. I said, what do you mean? He said, you need to write a book on how to keep kids in the church. Well, I'm not going to write that book because I don't know the answers on all that, but I'm going to tell you something I think, okay? Number one, it's God's blessing so we have people, children in the church. If God blesses us, we give God all the credit. But God told us some things to do. And I want to talk about that in a little bit. God told us some things to do. Now, we know that without God blessing, nothing will work. So I'm not saying we've got a formula, but we have been blessed with a lot of young people at Grace Chapel, and I hope we keep all of our young people. But let me just say, pay real close attention now for about 10 minutes. I'm going to be through. Here's how it ought to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. It ought to be like it is in Zechariah chapter 8. And I don't put just a premium on young people. I put a premium on old people, on every age group in the church. And this is how it ought to be. It's wonderful when you have this whole spectrum of age groups. And we do have that here. And I'm thankful for that. And here, I just love this picture in Zechariah chapter 8. Now, I'll read a little bit about this. I think he's actually prophesying about the day in which we live, but maybe some other things also. But I think this applies to the church today. So in Zechariah chapter 8, he starts in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returning to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall be... these next two verses, I just love this. Just get this word picture now. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall be yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. Here's somebody got some walking sticks. They're leaning on them because that'll be me one of these days probably. I live long enough. They got a walking stick. They're leaning on their staff for very age. And the streets of this city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That's a beautiful picture of me. You got these old folks, you got these kids, and it's just wonderful when they're serving the Lord together. Now, let me tell you what I think, because the Bible says this. What we've got to do, we parents, if we want our kids to be in the church, we can't dictate they will be, but we can do what God told us to do. And I'm going to tell you what we've got to do, first of all. We've got to do what it said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Nobody can spot a hypocrite faster than a child. A child can spot a hypocrite. If you don't love the Lord with all your heart, and you tell your kids, you're not going to fool them. You're going to prove by your actions. I want my children, God knows my heart, I'll say this. I'd rather my children to be good Christians and serve God in His church than have anything in the whole world. I'm glad they have good jobs. I'm glad they have good education. But I'm not kidding about that. I'm glad Seth's staying at home. Seth's really intelligent. He's smarter than his old dad, really. I don't let him know that very often. But he's going to stay here and go to the University of Memphis. And I want him to stay here because he's going to go to church here. That's what I want him to be, at a good church. And I think Rich is a good church. He could go somewhere else, get a probably more prestigious education. But I want him here because I want him to be in the church. I mean that. God knows I'm not, He knows I'm telling you my heart. But what I've got to do and what you've got to do, we've got to be sure we parents love God first. And we do that, it's going to show in our lives. Let me read that to you in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know this is so famous here. And I'll start in verse 4. And this is to the parents, first of all. He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one Lord. And thou shalt, now here's what we got to do. We're the parents, right? He's talking to us, grown ups first. And thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And that's what God wants us to do. And people can tell us we do that, and it's going to affect our priorities. See, a lot of people want to have a good warm church service on Sunday, but they don't put a lot of effort into serving God the rest of the days of the week. If I'm putting God first, my kids are going to know about it. Everything I do, the way I spend my money, the way I spend my time, I thank God for my mother. My mother, I had a good mom and daddy. We lived back in the day when people had just one car. You know, everybody got cars now. Looks like a used car out here sometimes in the parking lot, even when just our stuff's here. But we just had one car. Daddy had to travel on the road. He had to make a living by being a traveling salesman. He had a good salesman. But I tell you, whatever, there's a singing school going on, or there's something special going on, my mom would beg a ride. She was shameless. She'd make sure we got there. She wanted her kids around good influences. And I thank the Lord for that. And some of you other people have done the same thing. Patty knows I'm telling you the truth. She knew my mother well. But I thank God for my mom and dad. They want to make sure if there's anything going on. When we had a special meeting, we were at church. I can even remember this. At the association sometimes, you know, people got tired of the services because you had services all day long. And we had a lot of people that would, their kids would go to the morning service, but then the kids wouldn't get outside and play an afternoon service. Mom and dad didn't let us do that. They knew church was so important. We need to be in there every time the gospel was being preached. And I'm glad they were that way, Brother Bobby. Because the other parents were saying, in a way, they probably meant well. They said, you know, it's not all important. You know, your kids got to be kids. You can have a big time. You can go out here and let a little steam get off. But Mom and dad, we knew that church was the most important thing in the world to them. My daddy would have traveled seven, like I say, he had heart trouble. And but Daddy would have to travel through Monday through Friday. But I tell you what, when Raleigh Church got started, they got started on Friday nights. That's because they met on Friday nights to start with. And my dad, he'd come off the road, tired, he'd all get out, had driven maybe several hundred miles that day. But he packed us in that car, we went to Raleigh Church. Every time those doors were opened, my daddy and mom were in church. When they were tired, when they were sick, unless we were going to get somebody else sick, they wouldn't go then. But I knew by their actions and with our words, that was number one. And I'll tell you something else, that Daddy would not talk church, he would not talk church trouble in our home. We had a big split among the Baptist family here in 1953. You know, I didn't even know about it. I joined the church when I was 13 years old in 1954. But a lot of people talk church trouble. My daddy would not allow it in our home. I remember one time a guy came in, I remember this vividly, he started trying to talk something. Daddy said, sorry, he said, they got to stop right there. And we don't talk about that stuff, talk about stuff like that in our house. So if you're having a roast preacher for dinner, your kids probably won't enjoy church. You know what I'm saying? Or if we're talking about some of the church members behind their backs, if we're finding fault with the church, what we're doing is sowing seeds of discord in their mind and seeds of doubt. And they're letting us know, hey, we got to love each other and prove that. Isn't that right? Let me read to you now the rest of this. Now, we've got loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, soul, all of our might. Get this now. Now, I'm going to encourage you, like this young brother asked me, I want you parents to get on those family devotionals. These kids need to be prepared on Wednesday night when we do our catechism. And it ought to be fun with them. Have fun with them. It's fun to hear these kids. Jared, you ought to write a book on some stuff J.J. is saying, stuff like that. I should have written a book. Some of these lines are classics, aren't they? Kids can come up with all kinds of stuff. Some of it's funny, some of it's profound. I still haven't had Mercy's question answered. Mercy, you'll never answer Mercy's question. I want to know where Goliath's mother's purse is. I like to know where Goliath's mother's purse. I don't know where it is. But she asked that question one time. That's kind of funny. But, you know, these kids can really ask me questions. But I'll tell you, some of them are profound questions. But have fun in your Bible studies. The Bible is a great book. It's not some old book. We just do these old questions. We got to get this done for Bible study. This is the very Word of God. If it's the Word of God to me, it's the Word of God to my children. And you be like Kevin. Be an actor. Hey, do David and Goliath. He can growl like a veteran old lion, can't old Kevin can. How about you, kid, probably, Jared? Act them out with you kids. Have fun in our Bible time. Sing in the home, brethren. Have a family altar. Don't get too busy to do that. If you are too busy, let me give you a little hint, okay? Here's what happens. Sometimes a daddy doesn't feel like he can do it because he's been out working all day long, so he's so tired he can't think of what to do. So he wants to do it, but he just doesn't know what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, just read a chapter of the Bible. That's the Word of God. Sing a song. If you can plan something better, plan something. If you can read something a little more creative than that, do it. But if you don't have anything else to do, read a chapter of the Bible. Sing a few songs. Have some prayer time. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and visit with you in your family devotionals. So here's what he said to do here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, diligently to thy children. And shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. Right there. We're talking about it all the time, aren't we? Mom and Dad's on a trip. And so some question comes up. And so we can give them a Bible answer for that question. That's what we're doing. We're always living our religion every day, asking God to help us do that. We know we're all sinners. We're all going to mess up. But we do the best we can. And daddies, let me tell you how you daddies are. Come on, daddy, okay? Daddies sometimes get out of spirit, right? So they get to feeling guilty. I'm not worth being an old daddy anyway. But whether you like it or not, you are an old daddy. And God told you to do it, so just do it. Just, as Bill Lee would say, suck it up and get it. Just do it. Just do the best you can. So, you know, just ask God to give you the Spirit of the Lord and do the best you possibly can. And don't let the devil cow you down. The kid will be out of your house before you know it. And not only that, they have a window of opportunity while children believe everything daddy said is true. That God made children that way. And while they're there, you can cram everything you can in. Because the day's going to come, they're going to question things you believe. Rightly so. As they develop discerning minds. But while you have that window of opportunity, you better take advantage of it. You better take advantage of it. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou ridest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be a frontlet between thine eyes, thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and so forth and so on. So, let me read you one more scripture. I'm going to let Idy have it. I'm not going to say a lot. I've said what needs to be said. Listen, what am I saying? Just be real. Just be real and be diligent. Teach your children the Word of God. Have family time together. Pray the Church of Jesus Christ will be in peace. Pray that she'll be, the pulpit will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship each other. Have them around the saints of God. Let me read you one more, and then I'm going to quit. Over in Psalm 48, because I'm reading that this week. Psalm 48. I love this psalm. And it's great. If you've got any good memories, tell your children about those good memories. If you've had experiences in the past when God bless you, tell them about it. If you think the Church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful place, tell them about it. The world sure won't tell them it's a beautiful place. But here's what I love this over in Psalm 48, beginning in verse 11, and read down two or three verses. Begin in verse 12. Verse 12 of Psalm 48. Walk about Zion. Now, we're talking about the church here. Walk about Zion. You're thinking about the church. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Know that you're examining Zion. You're examining the church. You're thinking about the church of Jesus Christ. You're spending some time thinking about it. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. That's how God usually does work. He handed it down to the generation following. So you tell your children about the good things of heaven. You know, one more verse. You've heard me say this so many times, but I'll do it anyway. It's Psalm 71, verse 8. That's the old folks' psalm. 18. For anybody with gray head, including me, even people not old. But this is a great verse. Look at this. This is what David begged in Psalm 71, verse 18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, till I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that's to come. You older people have a great role to play in the church. Just by the very demeanor, just the very fact that you're faithful when you're older. When you don't feel well, you're still putting God first by your sweet spirit, by your experiences that you have. The older people have a great role in handing down things to the younger generation. So there's really no secret except that. We've got to live our religion. And it's going to be real. If it's real with us, our kids will know it. And if it is real with us, we're going to be diligently teaching our children. I'm going to offer prayer and ask God to come on. Father, I thank you for what you tell us in your holy word. I do thank you for Grace Chapel that you have given us a great number of our young people to remain here. Lord, I know you've got to touch their hearts by your grace if they're really going to see the kingdom of God. And we pray you'll teach each one of their hearts. We do not know who your elect are. So God, we pray for all of your children. We don't know who they are. So we just, that's in your hands. But Lord, you hadn't told us to take that on ourselves. It's not our prerogative to be the one who does the electing. But Lord, we have been told things to do. And one of them is what I've read tonight. We're to diligently speak of these things and teach them to our children and to live them every day of our lives. And Lord, help us to do that. Father, inspire each of these parents who still have children at home. And Lord, even the grandparents who don't have them home anymore but have an influence on them. And Lord, even our single people here, they have a great influence on these children too, just by the very fact they're good church members and good Christians. So Lord, everybody, really, if we're living like we should, have an effect upon each other. And as Brother Bruce prayed a while ago, Lord, we ought to be rejoicing with those that rejoice, weeping with those that weep. Father, if we have a pleasant atmosphere here because we love each other, that's an attractive place for children to be. Not where people are fighting and squabbling. Not where they're criticizing. Not where they're talking about each other behind their back. Not where they're, Lord, being cold to each other. But, Father, the world's full of that kind of thing. Backstabbing, cutthroat, Lord, the world's full of that. But, Father, we can come to the house of God. And it's like it ought to be. We're filled with your spirit. We're loving each other with a fervent love every time we see each other. If somebody does get out of sorts, we forgive them. We try to rebuke them in a nice, kind way to get back on the right track. If somebody falls in, we try to lift them up. And, Father, we're all working to remember that we're strangers and pilgrims. We're heading for heaven, and we're on a pilgrimage together. And, Father, while we're doing that, we're diligently teaching our children. It's not just a hit and a miss. The kids know we love the Word of God. Because, Lord, that's our motto. We're trying to read every day. We're trying to pray every day, Father. We're trying to meditate every day. Lord, help us. We all need help. The devil tried to drag us down. Lord, like the Scripture that we've read so many times from Matthew 24:24, that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. God, iniquity abounds today. It should be easy for our love to wax cold, but Lord, I pray it may not wax cold. That Lord, you'll open our eyes to see your great love for us. They call us to love you. Father, now we pray for Brother Isaac that may be part of, even tonight, what we're talking about. We have a warm sermon, a sermon from the Word of God, Father, that strikes our heart. And call us to love Jesus Christ more and love each other more. And call us to have more zeal to serve you. Father, speak to us tonight through the gospel, we pray. In his holy name, and amen.
Great is the Lord,
and greatly to